Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to the Poetic Soul Talk Show. You are tuned in to the Dear Royals episode this evening, in which momentarily I am going to switch to the guest seat and will be introducing the guest host for the rest of this evening's episode. For those of you that are tuned in, welcome, hoping that you enjoy this episode, as I've heard everyone does. My name is Dee Dee Wright. I'm the host of the Poetic Soul Talk Show. I'm also the author of Poetry to Life, Youth Struggle, Love, and most recent release, Dear Royals, Panhandlers, and Hopeful Souls, 42 Unpublished Letters. I am also a teacher in the Bronx, veteran teacher of the past 13 years of English language arts. I represent the Boogie Down Bronx, and I'm also the small business owner of Poetic Soul, Inc. Now that I've gotten through who I am, I do hope that everyone feels comfortable sharing their thoughts and views and asking questions this evening. I just want to go through a few of the protocols of the Poetic Soul Talk Show for those of you who may be new to tuning in. Please refrain from any profanity, only because it may offend some of the audience members. I know that we're passionate about our ish, but if necessary, please improv. If you're going to speak on the air this evening, you have to press star 1 to go into queue. It will be noticed, and we will get to your call before the end of the episode. However, please mute all background noise if you're going to speak on the air this evening, just because it's magnified and we want to be able to hear what you have to say. Your voice is very important. If you have not yet followed the talk show, please do so by visiting blogtalkradio.com/poetrytolife, 2 being the number 2. There you can also tune in to past episodes. We've had a lot of dope authors, writers, artists, spoken word poets come through, and also you will be kept abreast of all future episodes. So once again, blogtalkradio.com/poetrytolife, 2 being the number 2, and also follow us on Instagram at Poetic Soul Talk Show. No hyphens, no misspelled words, at Poetic Soul Talk Show, and there you'll be able to also keep up with things that we have going on this evening. And so I'm nervous. So just in case you all feel that I'm a little different this evening, I am going to be the guest, and I am going to be interviewed by a past guest, loyal supporter and listener of the Poetic Soul Talk Show. For those of you that have tuned in, most of us are very loyal listeners. Evening's host will be Cisco, also known as Francisco Garcia. So we're going to welcome Cisco to the show, and then I'm going to be the guest. I will not be hosting at all. This should be very different. Hey, Cisco, how are you doing this evening?
I am well. How are you, though?
I'm nervous, but I'm here and excited. I'm feeling a whole bunch of things.
You should be excited, but I don't think you should be nervous, though.
Okay, well,
I'm probably more nervous than you are.
So we can go back and forth about this, and neither one of us will win then. I think we'll both lose.
Nah, I think we're both going to win tonight, because you have this great book that you put out, and so that's where you win. And where I win is I get to ask you as many questions as I want and turn it over to the callers who you've asked questions to, and they can also ask you questions. So I encourage every caller tonight that calls in to let's throw the questions at Dee Dee for one night. And let's pick through her mind and see where these poems come from, see where these letters come from, see where that all she does, where does all of that come from? And so that's what we're trying to get to the bottom of tonight.
Well, I sure hope I can guide you all through this this brain of mine. I don't know. I'm at your mercy, everybody, and Cisco especially, who has questions for me. I'm going to do the best I can.
Well, you're doing pretty good so far. So let's jump right into it. You have a new book out, Dear Royals, Panhandlers, and Hopeful Souls. And I know that you've said repeatedly that you're a person where titles mean something to you. So how did you come up with the title for this book?
That's interesting. So I wanted it, I came up with it because I wanted the title to reflect the range of people that I would be, you know, writing the letters to, and, you know, royals being pretty much the upper echelon, and panhandlers being at the bottom of the social totem pole. I wanted it to reflect that, and I definitely wanted it to be addressed to people with hope. Seems to be dwindling these days a little bit, and so I wanted to include them as well. That's pretty much how I came up with the title.
Okay, that's fair. So let me ask you, because this is not the typical poetry book. It's and you and I have discussed this already. I still say it's poetry, and you
mm-hmm.
think it's unpublished letters, and you've even asked people, and I think the general consensus is that it's all poetry.
Right.
How did something this different come about? Like, where did you, you know, did you just write one letter, or did you write many letters and said, I'm going to throw it in a book? Like, explain to us how this whole thing came about.
Okay. And so I want to address first what you said about you saying it's a book of poems. I've since kind of come into realization that that's what it is, only because that's the way most of the letters are written. But a lot of the inspiration behind it came from the Poetic Soul Talk Show, because being the host and asking people questions about different things, some of which are addressed in the book, I never really had the chance to voice my opinion, or didn't really feel comfortable, because I wanted to make it about everyone else's perspectives and responses. So that's pretty much why I came up with this idea. And then the only letter that was written in advance was the Dear Tupac, which I performed on the Poetic Soul Talk Show during one of the open mic episodes. And the rest, I just sat down and thought about things close to me and how I became who I am, because I've evolved and I noticed it. And I just threw in as many titles as I could that addressed things that affected me and my growth, you know, throughout this process.
So how long did the entire process take in regards to the first letter you wrote to the very last one?
Okay, so, I'm going to text you after this episode is over. So I wrote the Tupac poem in June, in lieu of his birthday. Everybody knows that's my boo forever and ever. So that was around June 16th. The rest I wrote within 2 weeks. Of time.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks I finished them all.
Wow, that's
I know that.
Significant in 2 weeks. That is
pretty I had some feelings going on, and the only way I really know how to release them is through writing. As we've all said, it's so therapeutic. So I just sat down and I just poured my soul out onto the paper that ended up being the pages of that book.
I'll tell you, when you first told me about the book and what it was, you know, I think it's, as poets or anybody creative, you can always appreciate another person being creative and putting that gift to good use. So I don't know if there's a piece of poetry out there that I don't appreciate, but then you know, I run across ideas or bodies of work or poems or books, period, where I wish I would have come up with that idea. And when you were telling me about this, I got excited for you. And it was one of those ideas where I was like, why didn't I come up with that? Because I think it's truly an ingenious idea. And I also think it's very open and candid. And like you said, you know, you doing the show and asking people's opinion, you never wanted it to be about your opinion. And now here you go, you publish an entire book, you know, really about your opinion and your thoughts and feelings on things.
I did. And it was kind of scary. I mean, I thank you so much. You did, you know, support it from the first day. Like, that's brilliant. But it was really very scary for me. And so whenever I'm afraid, I go full throttle ahead in order to overcome whatever it is that may be scaring me. And that's pretty much why, you know, I don't think it's something that, I think it's something that we could all do, you know, whatever we want to address in words, in writing. I think you could very well do it, Cisco. And, you know, the titles would be different and the idea would be different, but the concept would be the same. And I love writing letters, and we don't do that anymore. You know, we send emails and text messages. You know, so it just encompasses all of that retro stuff that us poets seem to really appreciate much more than the general public.
So I want to get to a caller, but before I do that, because I want to hog up all your time and throw every question imaginable at you. But one more before we do go to a caller is, you said, you know, we don't write letters enough. We don't write like we used to. When you were creating these letters, exactly how did you write them? Was it typed on something? Was it handwritten? Do you handwrite your poetry now?
Unfortunately, not as much as I used to. I typed these. I did write the titles because I would be laying down and it'd be like 1 o'clock in the morning and my eyes are wide open and I'm like, dear Mr. and Mrs. Obama, but I'm not in the mood to write it at that moment. So I would hop up and grab my handy dandy notebook and write the title down as a reminder to me the following day or 2 days, kind of collect my thoughts in writing that way. But for the most part, it was typed. And then I have so many poems handwritten on loose leaf and brown paper bags that I'm trying to also type up and put in the form of a typed document that, you know, I didn't want to add any papers, so to speak. But I definitely miss writing letters. This brought that back for me 100%.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you're alone when you say, you know, not as much as I used to. I think because of technology and whatnot, you know, it's you pick up your phone and you begin, you know, typing on there, where, you know, 10, 15 years ago, like you, I had napkins and filter paper from my job where I would scribble stuff down, you know. And,
right.
And it really was a different time, you know. There was misspells there that autocorrected it. Change, and then there were certain words where, you know, I put one word and instead of that word it says duck, you know. So that's just it's just the technology changing on us, you know. So it's both good and bad. I was just curious because these are true letters, and I wanted to see, you know, if you actually hand wrote them, you know, and maybe if you didn't, I think that would be awesome to see, you know, what would
to handwrite them.
Well, yeah. Well, at least one. I would want to see what one of these look like with your thoughts and your penmanship.
That's you might have given me an idea for a future publication. I don't know how, but there's
filled,
I'm sure a way.
With them.
I am too many, ideas.
Let's go to a call. I'm gonna make sure I'm doing this right.
You're doing such a great
Greetings.
Job as the host.
Thank you. Greetings. Welcome to the Poetic Talk Show. What's your name and where are you from? Hello?
Yeah, they're not. They may have went into queue by mistake.
Okay, well, I'm going to go to someone else then. How about that?
Okay.
Greetings. Welcome to the Poetic Talk Show. Hello. I must be doing this wrong.
No, I don't think so. I think that there's some missed cues. Pardon that, because I know I get very frustrated with Poetic Talk, with Blog Talk Radio, for doing stuff like that. You know how to put them back on hold, though.
Yeah, the headphones, right?
Yep.
The headphones. I'm going to try this again because I want to make sure everyone's heard tonight. Greetings, welcome to the Poetic Talk Show. Hello.
People are tuned in and not talking. What's up, everybody? I want to talk to everybody. Nobody.
They're lined
Nobody's
up.
Nobody's talking.
So let me ask you this. You know, you told us that the Tupac Shakur letter was the first one that you wrote. What was the very last one you wrote?
Oh, wow. Dear Math, which is the last letter in the book. Dear Math was the very last letter. And you know how I feel about math is exactly how I wrote it, and that was the end. And that was the end of the book. That was the end of letter writing for that time frame anyway. I was like, dear math, you're over, and this book is done. So, yeah, it
so
would have to be the letter to
math.
Yep. That was intentional.
So,
that was the last letter in the book as well as the last one I wrote.
So were the rest of the letters curated in a specific way? Did you want this letter before this one and then, you know, this one down the line a little bit?
Actually, the last letter that I wrote is the last letter in the book, and then none of the other letters follow any sequence. So, like, I wrote Dear Tupac first, but it wasn't, like, the first letter in the book.
Right.
You know, all of the other ones were kind of scattered. And then I wanted to divide them up into the three sections of the book. So once I wrote them all, that's when I came up with The Matrix and Chicken Soup, and then, you know, concepts and people, and I kind of started, that helped me trying to place certain letters in certain parts of the book.
I got it. See, and that's the one thing that I've been meaning to ask you, and even about, you know, poetry of life is, you know, when you have these poems and they're written in different time spans, whether it's, you know, 2 weeks or 2 months or 2 years, how do you figure out, you know, how do you figure out where they go, you know, or do you group them by, you know, it sounds like for this one, you kind of group them by topic almost.
Right.
You know, like you were saying. Is that a difficult process? How many times did you change your mind on that? Or did you?
Once I came up with so how I do it is usually I just write everything. And then I look for ways to categorize them. And then, you know, apply the letters or the poems to those three sections. But the entire body is already finished. It's just a matter of, okay, what three, you know, titles can I give to this book and, you know, make sure that each letter has a place in one of those. That's how I came up with section three. Like, you know, The Matrix and Chicken Soup. I was like, I don't know what the heck put in this section. These are the letters that don't have a home, and so I'll just throw them all in there.
So for section three is interesting because it's titled Matrix Systems and Chicken Soup. Why did you title it that?
The political ones, like to the councilmen and the police department, you know, those are the systems I feel like exists more prevalently. And then Chicken Soup, I just like that. I love Chicken Soup. I love Sopa de Pollo. It's like my favorite. And so I just threw that in there along with it. And, you know, I think we're all living in a matrix type of system, whether we're aware of it or not, or how deep it might actually be. And so I wanted to make sure I included that. Kind of goes to the whole, you know, concept of the unknown. We really don't know what we're doing and dealing with. So, you know, that's how that title came to be of that chapter.
Okay, I'm going to attempt to go back to the phone lines. Let's see if I can get it right this time.
Cool.
Greetings. Welcome to Poetic Talk Show. You're on the air.
Let's just say you got it right this time.
Hey, I got it right. I know that voice. Tell everyone who you are and where you're from.
Yes, sir. Name is Life is Corio, and I'm calling from Brooklyn, New York.
How are you,
what
sir?
Hanging in there. I'm doing a lot better today.
Hi, Life is Corio.
Yeah. Hey, how are you? It's kind of Freaky Friday to see the roles have reversed. It's like if I didn't call in and know any better, it was like this is the Cisco show for today.
This is the DD show. But we're gonna ask her some questions. So I'm hoping did you get your copy of Dear Royals, Panhandlers, and Hopeful Souls?
No, not yet. But I do intend on buying both books. I want to read the first one first. before I dig in, I just wanted to say the concept of the second book, Letters, just kind of reminded me of my years in high school where, as a matter of fact, to this day, I still have a box full of letters that I've written to friends or just creatively written or, you know, journals and, you know, it kind of reminded me of that. So I thought, you know, that was a really, really cool concept. So, you know,
do you still keep a journal and write letters?
I do. As a matter of fact, I do. I guess that's kind of like the running joke with, you know, a lot of my closest friends is that you'll never find me without a pen. You know, even if there are no pens around me, you'll find me with a pen.
Hey, do you keep a journal?
I have tried, but I cannot remain consistent with it at all. But I do have all of my diaries and journals from, you know, junior high school on up and through high school for the most part. I don't keep up with it. I keep trying, and then I just lose it.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, Didi, when was the first time you sat down and you wrote something that you deemed poetic? And you know, I mean, do you remember your first poem? I mean, I know it's kind of difficult because I'm sure it started with a line or two. But do you remember that first poem?
I do, and it's in Poetry to Life. It's
Why. Which one is it?
Why?
Oh.
Why? And I'm still that type of person, and it's crazy because I was 10 when I wrote that, and I've since edited it, of course, for the book and, you know, took out things that were, like, really elementary. I chopped that poem up, but it, for the most part, yeah, I was like, why? And I still walk around the world and through life and ask myself that question, why?
Is there a piece in Dear Royals Panhandlers and Hopeful Souls that you feel closer to than other pieces? If that makes sense.
Yes. And I would have to say it's Dear Bodega Man.
Why Dear Bodega Man?
Don't be cracking up, Life is Choreo. You know why? Because the Bodega Man, and when I go to my mother's neighborhood, which is the neighborhood that I grew up in, I'm going to go to the corner store with the book because I don't think he has a clue of the impact that he's had on me. I mean, he remembers me because I've lived over there my whole life in that neighborhood. But, yeah, I'm going to go and I'm going to show it to him.
Wow.
He has
Gloria,
no idea.
Do you have any questions for Didi?
I was going to ask sort of something similar along the lines of where, you know, if you did like your first poem. So I guess I'll ask my kind of fringe question. For you, what was your aha moment in this poetic journey? You know, where it was, you know, like that moment where the thing clicked and it was just like, well, this is bigger than myself. And I didn't really know the gravity of it. You know, I guess that's my question. When was your aha moment?
You know, it's funny that you would ask me that today, because today was the aha moment. Like, I sent a DM to the people who bought the book and asked them whether or not they thought or letters based on a conversation I had with Cisco pending this episode. And the response and the feedback that I got really brought me to tears. It was like, almost like, wow, I didn't even know while writing and publishing and promoting this book that it would affect people or cause them to change their perceptions of certain things or question certain things or remember. Like, I had no idea. And my eyes just watered, which I refused to allow to happen this evening on the talk show. But I did call Unleashed 03. I called her my Velcro, and I was like, you know, my voice was crackly. And I was like, man, you got to stop being a punk, DD. But I couldn't help it. That was really my aha moment today.
Well, the reason that I asked, and, you know, I'm almost positive you'll appreciate this, is because I often do the show, and if I don't get a chance to have immediate feedback with, you know, my mom, she, like I shared with you, you know, I talk with her about the show, and whatever episodes that I, you know, contribute to, I kind of share with her or you know, kind of get some sort of a sounding board, you know. And I guess, you know, the reason that I asked is because, you know, for me, one of my aha moments has been, you know, this show, and that's why I, you know, kind of enamor people with the necessity of it, because you never know who's aha, you know, you never know when this might be somebody else's aha moment, but for me,
might be an aha avalanche.
Right. No, but,
well, I appreciate
it. Of course, I never, you know, get tired of saying that. And for me, that aha moment has, you know, been this show, because one of the things that I share with her is that, you know, there are things that I talk about, you know, that I guess for lack of a better way to say it, quote unquote, shouldn't happen to a 31-year-old. So it's definitely a different type of wisdom. And when I started to realize that, it was just like, man, I'm resonating with, you know, people who are 10 years my senior, 15 years my senior, you know, and it's...
See why,
you know,
I don't like math? See, Cisco? See? See why I don't like math? He's throwing numbers out there. I don't do numbers, Cisco. I don't do numbers, Corey. I only do words. We're not going to start subtraction and adding numbers and ages and stuff.
Corey, I appreciate you calling. We're going to get to another caller. Please stay
okay.
on the line, okay?
Okay.
Have a good one.
All right, man. You too.
Greetings. Welcome to the Poetic Soul Talk Show. Hello?
I'm just going to see if y'all might be able to guess who this is.
It's somebody from Arkansas.
You
know that.
You might be
somebody
right.
Somebody from Arkansas.
Might be right. How y'all doing this evening?
Great. We're great. Hi, Steve.
You know I had to call in with some sort of question, since you always just catch people off guard.
Get it, Steve.
Ooh, feisty.
Yeah. Paybacks.
Uh-oh.
Oh, you know,
I'm ready.
It's not going to be too difficult. I'm sure, you know, you can handle it.
Okay.
And it's not necessarily, you know, having to do with just this book, but overall, what do you find to be your greatest inspiration in writing?
Oh, wow. What is my greatest inspiration in writing? Thinking about the way it makes me immortal really inspires me, knowing that these things that I put on paper and post on social media and publish are going to live long past my breath. And so I want to make sure it speaks to, you know, it delivers certain messages in it.
Right.
Because I can't take it back. You know, I can't unpublish something that's been published. So
mm-hmm.
It inspires me to continue to write. Whoever comes across this in 100 years, they're going to know something about me. And,
right.
You know, that's my greatest inspiration.
That's a good question.
That was a good question, Steve.
Yeah. I knew she would answer that eloquently.
I was getting ready to say, how did I do, Steve? How did I do with that? That curveball question you tried to throw at me.
Yeah. You know, if I was a teacher, if I was like you, I'd probably give you an A+. Plus.
Aw, thanks, Steven.
I like the immortal thing. That's deep. But
and so are you. So are we all. We're all immortal.
But
I have a question for you the next time I'm the host. I just want you to know that. Please be prepared.
do you have dear royal panhandlers and hopeful souls?
I do not, but I need to go on a cop.
Yeah, you definitely need to go get it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna see if I can't get DD to recite one of those letters. To recite one of those letters for us.
That's right.
Uh oh.
And I noticed what she said about we don't actually write enough letters these days. That is absolute truth. And I wanted to do something special for someone the other day, and I actually took the time out to sit and write a handwritten letter, and I haven't done that in I couldn't tell you how many years.
Wow.
So often,
when you're writing your poetry now, are you typing it on a phone? You typing it on a computer? How is it coming about?
Most of the time it's on my phone. I mean, I could be driving down the road and just something hits me, and I might pull off to the side of the road and just break out my notes in my phone and start typing away.
Yes.
Very very rarely do I type it out on a computer, but sometimes when I'm at work, don't tell my boss this. Sometimes when I'm at work, something might hit me, and since I'm right there at the computer, I'll go ahead and I'll just type it up and send an email to myself. So.
There you go.
I'm going to ask that Dee Dee handwrite some of these letters and post them for all of us to see.
Because I
actually want to see how good Dee Dee's penmanship is.
Well, y'all are challenging me this evening. Oh, boy. I'll do it, though. I don't have a problem doing it at all. But, you know, y'all gonna call in when I'm in the host seat again. And I'm going to be prepared.
Yeah,
I am.
But
I'll definitely handwrite some and post them. I think that's a dope idea, actually. I would like to try to do a chapbook in which they're all handwritten now. I'm my brain is all over the place. Thanks a lot, you
that's
all,
actually,
giving
yeah,
me some more ideas. Mm-hmm.
That's actually a really good idea. Thanks for calling, Steve. I appreciate it.
Oh,
stay
absolutely.
Alone, okay. Okay. So. What I want to do now, you're looking over the titles of these letters and reading through some of them. I want to play a little word association game. And so
okay.
I'll simply throw out a word, and you got to give your first open and honest response. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Okay, so the first word is ambition.
Double-edged sword.
Double-edged sword, okay. Justice.
My brain just went
mind.
Blank. Impossible.
Comes to mind. Impossible.
Impossible. Impossible.
Okay. Violence.
Terrible.
Death.
Inevitable.
That's exactly what came to my mind. Panhandler.
A gift.
The media.
Corrupt.
America.
Shameful.
Arthritis.
Oh, I almost said something that I said to people not to say on the air. Effort.
Okay. High bridge.
My hood.
City council.
Elusive.
And last but not least, hip hop.
My love.
Your love.
My love.
Okay, so with reading the Dear Hip Hop letter, you mentioned disorderly. And that's a reference to, I don't know what year it was. I know it was in the late 80s, but that was the movie about the Fat Boys, right?
Right.
So what made you just throw that in there? Because it definitely took me back when I was reading it, and I remember going to see that with my brother and sister.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly why I mentioned it, because it's the memory of it all, you know? And being 10, I think I was 10 when it came out, and I was like, oh, my God, this is the dopest movie. And that's probably the word that I used, because that's when I started using that word, dope. And it just encompasses the growth of hip-hop from then till now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's changed dramatically. And
it has.
That's one of the questions I wanted to ask you is, if you wrote Dear Hip-Hop 15 years ago, how different would it be than Dear Hip Hop that's currently in Dear Royals, Panhandlers, and Hopeful Souls?
Woof.
Or would it be different at all? Would it be the same? Would it be the same piece?
No, it would absolutely not be. I mean, 15 years ago, Tupac was alive. Biggie was alive 15 years ago. I mean, you know, it's just evolved so much so quickly. In so many ways, I don't even know what the letter would sound like. Maybe I should, in 15 years, write another letter to hip-hop and read
this
letter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, and that's I don't know about you, but sometimes when I look at old letters, not old letters, but old poems, you know, they I remember feeling that way. I remember thinking that way. It's just those thoughts and feelings have changed. Do you feel like that when you look at pieces? Of yours?
Yes. Yes. And I know you've said, as being the guest on prior episodes, like, never get rid of anything that you write. Like, just keep it.
Oh, no.
And I've gotten rid of things. And since hearing you say that and thinking about it, I wonder what it was that I got rid of. Like, I just got rid of it. And I don't even know what it was that I threw away. It could have been a jewel. So I think it's a beautiful thing to reflect back on your writing and where you were and where the world was when certain things was written, because things change so quickly. And I'm very nostalgic, and that's another reason why
I really,
it's painful sometimes. It's like this cannot be the world that we live in today. I remember when, and it's just different.
Don't you wish you had that Dear Hip Hop letter from 15 years ago?
I do. I really do.
So at the end of Dear Hip Hop, you say, and I quote, "I walk with you in my step, my tone heavily influenced by you, unashamed of your influence on me. I do not believe I would be who I am if it were not for you."
I meant that, every word of that. You know, and growing up in an urban setting, and being educated as I am, as young as I was, you know, people have looked at me and judged me based on me wearing quote-unquote hip-hop attire. And it's like, you don't even know who I am, you know? And they've made comments, and it's like, wait a minute, now let me have to check you real quick. And I've seen mouths drop, but I embody hip-hop as the culture that it's become. I don't know who I would be if it wasn't for the lyrics of Common and Dead Prez and Pac. And, you know, I like Drake. I'm sorry if I offended anyone, but I don't know who I would be. I don't know how I would think. I don't know how I would see. And then I went to see Straight Outta Compton the other day. Oh, my God.
As did I.
It was. It just brought it all back. I was in Cali when Boys in the Hood was released, and so I remember my uncle driving me to Compton, and I was just like, yo, this is the nostalgia. Like, I actually miss them being together. I remember Reagan being on TV talking about them as a kid in my mother's living room. It was just a really dope movie, really good way of encompassing that aspect of hip-hop, the gangster rap aspect of it all.
See, and it's funny you say Reagan, because he embodies, I think, the 80s and with Reaganomics and all of that. And he was really the first president that I was actually conscious of. You know, just
right.
like Barack Obama will be the first president that your daughter and my son are conscious of. You know,
right.
and it really just shows, like, I think just how times have changed. You know,
they
it really
have.
Does. So
significantly.
You said, when I mentioned Highbridge, you said my hood.
Yeah.
And so if someone who has never been to the Bronx or never been to your neighborhood, paint a picture for us where Didi came from. You know, paint a
well,
picture
it looks
for. Go ahead.
It looks different. You know, it's right up the street from Yankee Stadium. It used to be full of abandoned buildings, and with all of the money poured into Yankee Stadium, there's a lot more development. But when I, you know, as a child, there were abandoned buildings, and it was just not a good area, although I always felt safe there. It's tenement buildings and, like, three-story townhouses, and there's the projects over there, and there's the school that I went to, Sacred Heart, and another public school, and it's a very close-knit community. And, like, the building that, you know, my mom still lives in, all of the people have been there for more than 20 years. So when we come back as the children that grew up in the building and drop our children off, now it's the grandparents and the grandchildren outside and talking. And it's just a beautiful, it's like that cohesiveness. You know, my daughter plays in my old bedroom. She calls it her room now. And it's just
right.
like, this is dope. Like, I love it. And I never feel afraid when I go. But for outsiders, they're noticed and they're watched. So it's like a family. You know, we see you. You know, don't miss no steps. It's a village. It is.
How far are you from there now?
Oh, I'm about 30 minutes north of there by car. So I'm up near Westchester in the Bronx. I'm in the North Bronx, and that's considered the South Bronx. But it's home for me. It will always be.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because in Deer Highbridge, you know, in closing out, you said, thank you for telling on me, reminding me that even though I was from the hood, I was loved more for not being hood in the way that unfortunately many felt they had no options. What did you mean by that? I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory, but just tell me what you meant by that.
They groomed me to be able to leave. But some people seemed to resist the grooming, or they weren't groomed that way by their families, and they had to be hood. So they ended up in jail. They had, you know, doing things illegally, you know, ended up getting killed, some of them, may they rest in peace. You know, they had to emulate that negative aspect of it all. But in terms of me, I just feel like it made me more of a positive person. And, you know, it groomed me to be beyond that mindset of a hood. I'm from the hood, but I don't have a hood mentality according to the ones of the people in the neighborhood that I grew up with. They were far more hood than I could ever be. I don't want the pain that, yeah.
Sure.
Thank you for cutting me off, because I was about to try to articulate that further and didn't know how I was going to do that.
No. You actually make perfect sense. You actually. So do you feel like it's important for your daughter to see, you know, where you came from? Because I don't know how different where you live now from where you grew up. Is it a huge difference, or, you know, is it subtle differences? And do you feel like it's important for her to see that?
It is a huge difference. You know, I live in a more residential area, not buildings and, you know, not loud music bumping through the street like they did, you know, when I lived here, both. To be exposed to both. I think sheltering her and keeping her home and not exposing her to elements she's going to have to one day face, I think that would be a disservice to her upbringing. So I think it's beautiful to have the best of both. Look, this is where you could be. This is where you could be. You make a choice. as to which way you want to go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Has she read your letters?
She read a couple. It was really touching. Really, really very touching. She's like, you know, trying to pronounce the words and very confident and boasting about it. My mommy wrote 2 books and, you know, I don't know if in
as
her 9-year-old mind. I don't know if she's super proud as though she knows something that we don't. Like, you know, what 9-year-old is excited about that? She should be. But she is. And, yeah, she read a couple. She read Dear Ambition and she read Dreams, Dear Dreams, which was very short.
Is she ever critical of your writings?
Yes.
Really?
Absolutely. Yep.
In what way is
she
critical?
She's, it's so hard to explain. I feel like she really is a true, smaller version of me. I think, you know, the way she, her mannerisms and the way she emulates me and, but she seems to have this sense of something more than she can articulate in words. But I just watch her.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I want to nurture whatever it is within her that needs to grow further. I just hope and pray that I can.
Wow. So I want you to read at least one piece before we go off the air. But I do want to go to another caller because I feel like I've monopolized, you know, the question tonight. So I'm going to attempt to get this right for a third time. I'm 2 and 3 for the sort of night.
You're doing a great job.
Greetings,
Cisco.
Thank you. Greetings. Welcome to the show. Who are we speaking with and where are you from?
Good evening. Good evening. This is La Ciencia calling from Brooklyn, New York.
How are you,
La
sir?
La Ciencia.
Yes. I am doing well tonight. I was afraid I wasn't going to get on, so, you know, not because you're up the time. Like, I was actually really consumed into this episode. It's been an amazing episode. I just want to say, you know, Diddy, you know, you're always amazing. It's so great that you actually were on the other end this evening, so we got to hear from you, and, you know, we hear everything that you probably been keeping bottled up while you were interviewing us. So this has been amazing.
Yes. Thank you.
And I'm actually calling not to even ask a question because you guys probably took y'all kind of took the best questions. I probably had a few of them that I could have asked.
No, there's plenty more. I think we're gonna have a second installment of this one.
Yeah, but I just want to tell you guys probably save some of them because there's gonna be what I'm calling in this one now. There's gonna be an event, right? That's coming up. It's gonna be on September 12th. And I just want to say that I have the pleasure to be able to host it. My patisserie, I'm going to host the book release of Dear Royals 42 for Didi Wright. I have the pleasure to have her come in. She's going to be in my establishment. She's going to be doing her book release there. It's going to be September 2nd. It's going to be, well, September 12th, actually, at Financier Patisserie on 983rd First Avenue. That's at the corner of 54th and 1st. You guys might want to take some notes for this. It's going to be on a Saturday at 5 p.m. We're going to give you guys more details about it, but Didi's going to be there. She's going to be sharing. And I am actually going to reach out to some of the poets that are within this area so they could come and join us for this book release so they could actually come and read some of her poems there to the people that are going to be there present. I would love for us to be there and be able to read some of them and, you know, share them. She's also, those who haven't purchased a book, we're going to have a few of them for sale there so they can actually buy them there. So I'm just like, really excited, as you guys could probably hear, to be having this, you know, be able to have this at my establishment. You know, I called Diddy with this idea, and, you know, she was extremely excited about it, too. And
I am.
I'm just, you know, she's provided this great outlet for us to be able to call in and share our poetry. So I felt like it was only right that I could be able to give back to her by providing her somewhere, an establishment where she could actually, you know, have her book release party and, you know, not have to, you know, like, go ahead and, you know, and dig its pocket. And it's also going to be something great, you know, for me. It's great for all of us to come in together. It's going to be, you know, it's just going to be
Thank
an amazing
you.
Event.
Wow,
that is
actually an excellent thing. Two things.
Is.
Number
it's
one, that's great. Thanks to you. Number two,
thank you.
That's the first I'm hearing about that. Didi's been holding out on me.
Yeah, she wanted to
Didi's
make
been
you
holding
know, she wanted. She called me. I was supposed to call in last Thursday and make the announcement, but I wasn't able to, you know, because I get caught up with work and stuff like that. You know, running a business is kind of like a very, you know, you never know what you was going to come up.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay,
I had to call in today, make the announcement to make sure that everyone knows and they save that day. You remember September 12th. At 5 p.m. So,
at 5 p.m.
Yes, it's going to be at 5 p.m. It's Midtown Manhattan. It's 54th and 1st Avenue, right at the corner. It's a nice French cafe there. So you guys could come, enjoy some coffee, some pastries, some good, you know, and good poetry, because that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be reading, the way that I'm thinking, we're going to be reading some of the poems from there, you know, to kind of encourage people to see what the book is about. We're going to have it there so they could, you know, purchase the book if they, you know, once they fall in love with what we're reading, because everyone's going to fall in love with it. I mean, I'm just hearing of some about it. Like, I haven't read the book yet. I'm going to purchase a copy beforehand so I can know which of the poems I'm going to read at the event. You know, I have to pick out one of the best ones so I can read it. So I have to get it ahead of time.
you gotta read Bodega Man, man. But you have to.
See,
that's
the one I want to hear you recite. Would you recite that one to close out the show? Would you recite that one?
Oh,
yes, I will.
I'll be more than happy.
No, I'm going to read it this evening.
She's
going to
recite that one right now. She's going to close out the show with Bodega Man.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, but I wanted to say, too, thank you, La Ciencia, for reaching out and being supportive and providing me with this venue. And, yes, I do hope that as many people that can make it will make it, if only for the purpose of inspiration, because, you know, we all have to inspire one another. I'm very inspired by this all. That's how this book came to fruition. But thank you so much, La Ciencia, for everything. And I'm definitely going to promote that event hard now that you've announced it, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Now I can start the promotional aspect of it.
Yes, definitely. Let's go pull out. We want as many people as possible. I hope to meet as many of the callers that are tuning in, you know, on a weekly basis. I hope to meet a few of them because, you know, we're like a family. We form a family online. Now it's time for us to, you know, meet those relatives that we probably don't even know by
That's
faith
right.
yet, but we know their soul, but we don't know what they look like.
That's right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it so much.
I appreciate you calling in. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You guys have a good night.
You too.
So we have like a minute and a half left, but I got to hear you recite Bodega Man.
Okay.
Is that too much pressure for you?
That's fine. And I just wanted to say formally on the air, I thank you 1,000 times before, but thank you for this, Cisco. And y'all got to check out the book. At the back of the book, there's a poem that Cisco and I worked on together. It's a collaborative piece called Musical Metaphors. So you have to, for sure, you can purchase it at PoeticSoulInc.com, and it's actually on sale for $6.50 for reasons that I don't want to get into. But I'm going to read Dear Bodega Man now. And thank you all for calling in. And for those of you that had questions or may have wanted to say something, please do so at Poetic Soul Talk Show on Instagram. And, you know, I'll definitely get to your questions. Dear Bodega Man, yes, I have something to say. Writing, it is easier for me. Ever since I was a little girl, you were here. Early in the morning, Cafe Bostello permeating the air. I smelled it before I left my building, walking towards your contribution to the community, the bodega. If it was the hottest day in the boogie down or the coldest of New York City winters, you were there. You may not have noticed that I noticed, but I realized that you were not born here. You did not speak like most of those that have been here before you arrived. It never bothered me. As I understood it, my ancestors were not from here either. It was fine with me. My friends would say, he is from Puerto Rico, or he comes from Honduras, for he came from Dominican Republic. I learned the language early. My friends would teach me, ask for leche, jugo, agua, so I did. Communication has always been intriguing to me. I learned more and more simply to say gracias to you. There were times when money was short. My mom never sent me to the bodega for credit. I would walk around for 15 minutes looking for a snack my quarter would cover. Dame el dinero mañana. I was grateful. And the next day I paid. In essence, you taught me the value of trust along with the system of credit, a lesson that lives on. In hindsight, you are a leader in the community. Your children grew up with us, the music blasting from the bodega, forcing the neighborhood to learn how to merengue and salsa. You brought your culture with you, teaching as you learned. You conveniently forgot English when the police interrogated you about activities taking place outside of your business, perhaps within. When the Hispanic officers arrived, you knew nothing, said nothing. Loyalty few would understand, some may even condemn you for. Bodega man, I watched you as a child. As an adult, I smile, hug, and kiss your cheek with gray hair underneath your sombrero. Yes, I would love a cup of coffee con leche y equal, and my daughter would love a free blow pop. Bendición, hombre, siempre. And that's that letter.
Wow. Thank you for being so open and candid with us tonight.
Thank you for allowing me to. This was
a
great episode.
We're going to actually have to do this again. We're going to have to do this again because I had more questions. And I did not get
great.
To the callers. If we did not get to your calls, it's my fault. It is not on Didi. I'm still learning how to control the deck, if you will. So thank you for allowing me to throw these questions at you and dig deep and find out where these letters and poems come from.
Yes, and so you are obliging yourself to do this again at some point in time. Perhaps, if possible, around the time of the book release party, but we can talk about that off the air. I'm so
Absolutely.
Thankful for you and the audience, and the questions you asked were very intriguing, not too harsh. And for everybody that called in, whether they spoke on the air this evening or not, I'm grateful for each and every single one of you. We're ending the episode. Please tune in for an open mic episode to be announced on at Poetic Soul Talk Show on Instagram. Night, Cisco. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Didi.
Good night.